In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We will study tonight chapter 22 from the book of Acts. In chapter 21, people from Jerusalem, Jewish people, they wanted to kill St. Paul, and they accused him with several accusations. They accused him that he is speaking against the law of Moses, against the Jewish tradition. He defiled the temple by taking Gentiles, non-Jewish people, to the temple, and also he is attacking the Jews. That's why they wanted to kill him. So the commander took Paul from their hands, and actually Paul asked the commander to give him a chance to speak to the people. So the commander gave him this chance. So in chapter 22, we will see the speech of St. Paul to the mob, the people who wanted to kill him. And also, after his speech, the uproar increased. So the commander was about to scourge St. Paul in order to know what is the accusation against him. And St. Paul actually used his Roman citizenship to avoid scourging, as we'll explain. Then the last part, the commander, knowing that Paul has Roman citizenship, but he didn't understand why the people are against him, so he called for a meeting between St. Paul and the Sanhedrin in order to understand what is the accusation against St. Paul. This is actually the summary of the chapter. Let's start reading verse by verse. Verse 1. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. Actually, St. Paul asked the commander to speak to the people, to tell them his version of story, to defend himself, to explain that he is not actually against the Jewish tradition. As a matter of fact, he was very zealous to the Jewish tradition, as he will explain. But I want you to notice here how he addressed the people who wanted to kill him. He addressed them by saying what? Brethren and fathers. St. Paul actually showed them respect to tell them, I understand that you want to kill me out of zeal to Judaism. You wanted to kill me as I wanted to kill the Christian before, as I approved the martyrdom of St. Stephen. So I know there is nothing personal between you and I, but you think that if you kill me, you are serving God. But you are my brethren and my fathers, because we are from the same race. All of us, we are Jewish. So regardless of their desire to kill him, St. Paul was respectful to them. And actually, he was trying to speak to them in a way to get closer to their hearts and to their minds. Verse 2. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, St. Paul spoke to them in Hebrew to tell them, I'm Jewish like you. This is my native language. I'm not a Gentile. For those who do not know me, I'm not a Gentile. I'm a Jewish like you. And my tongue is the Hebrew tongue. That's why when they heard him speaking in their language in Hebrew, actually they became very, very silent and they were paying attention to him. Maybe some of them didn't expect St. Paul to be a Jew, because the accusation against him was he was against the Jewish people. But St. Paul is telling them, I am one of you. How you believe that I am against you? No, you are my brethren, my fathers, and I'm Hebrew by birth. Verse 3. He starts by saying, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. So actually, by speaking Hebrew, as I told you, he is establishing his Jewishness. I'm Jewish. And he starts by saying, I am indeed a Jew. I am indeed a Jew. He was born not in Jerusalem, but he was born in Tarsus of Cilicia, like a person who's Egyptian, from Egyptian blood, but he's born here in America. So his parents were living in Tarsus of Cilicia, but he was Jew, from Jewish family. And he told them, I was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. As I will explain, Gamaliel was a very renowned and respected leader in the Jewish nation. Just I want to remind you, the three accusations against St. Paul is hostility to Jew, contempt for the Jewish law, and desecration, defiling the temple. So now he is trying to defend himself against these three accusations. So he said, I'm Jew by birth, and I'm educated in Jerusalem under Gamaliel, a noted teacher, and I was zealous for God. He said, I was zealous toward God as you all are today. And his zeal was manifested in his persecution to the Christian, as he will explain. Tarsus is a city on the Mediterranean coast in Roman province called Cilicia. Now it is southern Turkey. And Tarsus was the intellectual capital of Cilicia, one of the renowned educational centers in the Roman Empire. It was number 3 after Athens and Alexandria. Athens was number 1, Alexandria number 2, and Tarsus was number 3. So he was from a very renowned city. Gamaliel was very known teacher in the Jewish nation. He was the grandson of Halil. Halil is one of the most important thinkers in the history of Judaism. And he has a school under his name. Until now, actually, people follow the school of Halil. So Gamaliel was actually a leader of Halil's school and was very preeminent educator of that generation. So in St. Paul telling them, I was educated by Halil. This means he actually was very well rooted in Judaism. And actually he used this word according to the strictness of our father's law. According to the strictness of our father's law. So he just, he was a Pharisee. Pharisees were known by their strictness. They were very, very literal. And out of humbleness, he used the word at feet of Gamaliel. So this phrase, to sit at the feet of Gamaliel, is actually expression of his discipleship. I am the disciple of Gamaliel. So he wanted to tell them, I'm not ignorant of the Jewish religion. Actually, I know it better than you. That's what St. Paul is trying to tell them. And I had the best instructor in Judaism. Actually, I was instructed by Gamaliel, who is the grandson of Halil. Verse 4. He wanted to tell them to what extent he was zealous for Judaism. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. So he told them, I was zealous like you. You wanted to kill me. And actually, I killed many Christians before. And I persecuted many Christians. And I want you to observe how he identified himself with them. When he said, was zealous toward God as you all are today. So here he is telling them, I understand, I empathize with you, I understand why you are doing what you are doing. And this actually was his first opportunity to explain to them why he converted to Christianity. But before speaking about his conversion, he wanted to tell them, I understand why you are trying to kill me. I know you are moved not by envy or hatred, but you are moved by your desire to serve God. So, I understand because I did the same before. Verse 5. As also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received the letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus, to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. He said, ask the high priest who is present with you right now. Ask him. He knows me very well. He gives me letters to go to Damascus to bind people and bring them in chains to Jerusalem to be killed, to be persecuted. Actually, I was working under the high priest and the elders of Sanhedrin. And they can bear witness to me how zealous I was to Judaism. And maybe because all the Sanhedrin were there, so I'm sure the high priest also, he was there. The high priest who gave him letters, he was there with the multitude. So there were many who were present, knew that St. Paul was a persecutor of the Church of Christ. The word way, I persecuted this way to death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, the word way refers to Christianity. Because the Lord said, I am the way. No one goes to the Father except through me. So at the beginning, one of the titles of Christianity is the way, meaning or referring, this is the way with capital W, the way, the only way to heaven, the only way to salvation, the only way to eternal life. Verse 6. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. Now St. Paul starts to explain to them why he converted to Christianity. And this account of his conversion was repeated 3 times actually in the book of Acts. The first time in Acts chapter 9, when St. Luke, the author of this book, the book of Acts, explains the conversion of St. Paul. This is the second time in which actually St. Paul explained what happened to him. And if we compare the two accounts, we'll find they are actually correspond beautifully with each other, Acts chapter 9 and Acts chapter 22. When St. Paul said, about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. So this light was brighter than the sunlight. You know, at noontime, the sun is in its best brightness. But the light of Christ was actually brighter than the sunlight. The light appeared when the sun was at its brightest, was brighter than the sun. Verse 7, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? St. Paul had 2 names. A Hebrew name, because he was a Jewish, and the Hebrew name was Saul. And because he was born in a Roman city, Tarsus, so he got another name, which is Paul. Many people think that his name was changed after his conversion from Saul to Paul. No, he had 2 names. Saul was a Jewish name, and Paul was the Greek name. Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin. And as you know, the first king of Israel was from the tribe of Benjamin, King Saul. And the Benjamites actually took pride that the first king was from their tribe. That's why they named their children after the first king, King Saul. And maybe this is the reason why he was named Saul, because he was from the tribe of Benjamin. When he saw this light shining, actually he fell to the ground. Then he heard the Lord Jesus Christ asking him, why do you persecute me? Actually, St. Paul was not persecuting Christ. He was persecuting the Christians. But the Lord is trying to say, any persecution to my children is directed to me. Those who persecute my children, indeed, they are persecuting me. And St. Paul actually did not argue with Christ. He did not deny that he was persecuting the Christian. He didn't try to find excuses or to blame it on the high priest. For example, he could say to the Lord, you know, the high priest instructed me to bring people to be killed. It's not my decision. As usually we try to find excuses for our mistakes. And he would argue with the Lord, telling him, and you told us to listen to our priests. So the high priest instructed me to bring these people, and I obeyed them as I was instructed in the law. But St. Paul did not argue, did not find excuses. Actually, he took responsibility for what he did. He fell on his face and acknowledged this voice from above. And he, actually, in his reply, in his response, he addressed this voice, Lord. So this is actually a confession from St. Paul that Jesus is God. Verse 8, so I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And I told you this account was mentioned three times in Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, and Acts 26. From Acts 26, we know that God spoke to him in the Hebrew tongue, in the Hebrew language. From Acts 26, verse 14. So, here St. Paul actually is sending message to all the people who wanted to kill him, as if he's telling them, now when you are trying to kill me, you are persecuting Jesus, God. So don't think that you want to kill me. This persecution is directed toward God. Because God died for us, for his children. So anybody is persecuting the Christian, actually is persecuting Christ. Verse 9. And those who were with me, St. Paul had companions in his travel. Those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to him. Did not hear the voice, maybe they did not understand. They heard like thunder, but they did not understand the words. But they saw the light. And here actually in verse 10, St. Paul asked God, so I said, what shall I do, Lord? It's a very, very nice response. When somebody actually blames me or convicts me, maybe all the time we try to argue or to defend ourselves or to find excuses. For example, if I'm a youth and my parents just try to bring my attention to something wrong I did, or my spiritual father is trying to bring my attention, and instead of arguing, no, I didn't do this, why are you blaming me for this? Maybe it's better to say, what shall I do? What I need to do. That's what St. Paul said. Also, many times in our prayers to God, when we pray to him, we have the plan, but we ask God to execute the plan for us. So, God, please do this and this and this for me. But this is the wrong prayer, because I'm here to do his will. So instead of me making the decisions and asking God to execute these decisions for me, actually it should be the opposite. God makes the decision and I'm here to do his will. So instead of saying, God, do this for me, we should say, Lord, what shall I do? What do you want me to do today? Big difference between God, please do this and this and this for me today, or when I wake up in the morning, I tell him, God, what shall I do today? What you want me to do? What's your will for me today to do it today? So the Lord, and the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And actually, I'm surprised here why God did not tell him what he needs to do. Why God sent him to Damascus, to the church, to Ananias? Because God actually established a rule that man should teach a man. And God does not violate this rule. So when St. Paul told him, what should I do? He told him, go to the church and the church will teach you. Go to Ananias and Ananias will teach you. Many times we argue and say, why should I go to the church? Why go to Abuna and ask him, what should I do? Why I go to Abuna and confess to him? I can speak directly to God. But here actually, Paul was speaking directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord didn't tell him what he needs to do. Actually, as we'll read in a few minutes, his sins were not forgiven when he met the Lord, but his sins were forgiven after he met Ananias. God, who established the church, his bride, actually, he wants to emphasize this fact, that it is through the church you will know my will. It is through the church and through the sacraments of the church you will be saved. Because I am the one who established the church. I am the one who gives authority to the church to represent me. And these servants are my ambassadors. So when you hear them, you are hearing me. So the Lord told St. Paul to go to Damascus, and there he will learn about the will of God. Verse 11. And since I could not see, for the glory of that light, being led by the hands of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Actually, because of the brightness of the light, he lost his vision. But there is actually a symbolic meaning here. God wanted to tell him that you are living in darkness. You are living in the darkness of the strictness of the law. And after he was baptized, actually he restored his vision. That's why we call baptism is the sacrament of enlightenment. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ and we are born again through water and spirit, we become enlightened. So he lost his vision. He could not see, so his companions led him by hand to Damascus. And as I told you, St. Paul did not question the Lord why he was given so little information from the Lord. Why the Lord did not tell him what he would do. But he obeyed God. He submitted to the will of God. He got up and moved on his way to Damascus. And St. Paul, the plan was to go to Damascus to persecute Christians and to bind Christians and bring them to Jerusalem to be persecuted. But God changed this plan. And instead of going to Damascus to persecute the believers, now Damascus will be a place for his conversion, a place in which actually he will follow Christ and he will know the will of God in his life. Verse 12. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there. I want you to notice that when he described Ananias, he did not mention he's Christian, in order not to lose their attention. And he didn't want the people to develop prejudice against Ananias. So how he described Ananias? A devout man according to the law. So according to the law of Moses, he's a devout man. And also, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there. So even the Jews testified for Ananias. He is a devout Jewish man. So, he didn't tell them that he was Christian. Ananias came to me. And here, I want you to see the coordination of God. God asked Paul to go to Damascus. In the same time, he appeared to Ananias and told him, go and meet St. Paul. So Ananias went to St. Paul, and if you read in Acts chapter 9, at the first Ananias was reluctant. He told him, God, I heard about this man. He persecuted many Christians. But God told him, don't be afraid. He's a chosen vessel for me. I will show him how much he would suffer for me. And Ananias trusted God and went to St. Paul. Verse 13, Ananias came to me and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour, I looked up to him. So actually, when Ananias went to him, he prayed on him and he baptized him as we read. And St. Paul restored his sight. So, as we say in the Divine Liturgy, and we read it in the book of Isaiah, and also in the Gospel of St. Matthew, we who were sitting in darkness and shadow of death, a great light has shone upon us. So, here we can see it in the life of St. Paul. He was in darkness, even the darkness of his vision. But now when he believed in Christ, He restored his vision as a symbol that his inner eye also were enlightened by his faith. So at this time, Saul received his sight and looked to Ananias. Verse 14, then he said, Ananias was speaking to St. Paul, the God of our fathers has it chosen you that you should know his will. So God chose you to know his will. And see the just one. And hear the voice of his mouth. God wanted you to know his will, to see him, and to hear him. His will that St. Paul will be an apostle, a preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles. But God wanted St. Paul to be an eyewitness. That's why God appeared to him. And he saw him and he heard him. So Ananias told him, God chose you to know his will. And his will, as we will read, to be an apostle, a preacher of the gospel, a messenger of God to the Gentiles. But in order to be a messenger, he has to be eyewitness. So he told him, and to see the just one, and to hear his voice of his mouth. So, the just one, referring to how God is just, he doesn't have partiality. He doesn't choose only the Jewish people to be his own people. But from every tribe, from every race, from every tongue, from every nation, whoever accepts him, he will be his people. His children will join the family of God. That's why here he describes God the just one. All of us are his children, not only the Jews. Because as we'll see at the end of chapter, the Jews were offended that St. Paul is preaching the Gentiles. Because they think the Gentiles are unclean. We are the only people of God. Why do you go to the Gentiles? There is no other nation except us, the Jews. But God is just. He's fair for everybody. That's why St. Paul, as eyewitness, in many times, he mentions that he has seen the risen Christ. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8. Many, many times he said, I have seen Christ. I am eyewitness. I did not just heard about him, but I seen him, I have seen him, I have heard him. Verse 15, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now the will of God starts to unfold. And then you start to disclose the will of God. God wants you to be his witness to all men, to Jews and to the Gentiles, to testify with what you have seen and what you have heard. Verse 16. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So he is saying, God revealed himself to you. Why are you waiting? St. Paul would argue, isn't it enough that I believed in Christ? Now I believe in him. Is it enough? But Ananias told him, no. You need to be born again. Born again of water and spirit, to be baptized. And when you are baptized, your sins will be forgiven. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Because some denominations say baptism is not necessary for our salvation. If you believe in Christ, your sins will be forgiven. But this contradicts the biblical teaching. He told him, be baptized and wash away your sins. So your sins will be washed in the water of baptism, because you will be born again as Christian, born again from the water and spirit, calling on the name of the Lord, because baptism is done in the name of the Lord. We baptize in the name of the Lord. So Ananias told him, you need to be baptized for your sins to be forgiven. And here with baptism, not only his physical eyes were enlightened, but the spiritual eyes of St. Paul were enlightened too. Verse 16. Now it happened, when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance. So he spent some days in Damascus, reflecting on this vision, reflecting on the calling of God, what would I do in the future. And after this, actually, he returned to Jerusalem. Returned to Jerusalem to pray in the temple, because they accused him that he defiled the temple. But he told them, no, I did not defile the temple. Actually, I went to Jerusalem, and I was in the temple praying. I know this place is holy. So I went to the temple to pray to God there. So after a few days of spiritual reflection, he discovered what he needed to do in his life. And after his baptism, because he obeyed God, who told him, go to Ananias, and Ananias will tell you what you need to do. So he was baptized, and baptism here is a condition for forgiveness of sins. And St. Paul actually went to Jerusalem, and there he knew from God himself that he will be an apostle to the Gentiles, as we read. Verse 18. He was in a trance, and I saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. God, he told them, you cannot preach me here in Jerusalem. The Jewish people will not accept your testimony here. They will attack you. I'm calling you to go to the Gentiles. Leave Jerusalem. And actually, St. Paul, who was very, very obedient to God, maybe this is one of the few times he argued with God. Why he argued with God? Because his love for his nation, his love for the Jewish people. In Romans, St. Paul said, I would prefer to be eliminated from Christ if this would save my people. To that extent, St. Paul was very faithful to his nation. That's why he couldn't imagine how he will not preach to the Jews and to go to the Gentiles. So when God told him, depart quickly from Jerusalem, they will not receive your testimony concerning me here. St. Paul starts to explain to God, no, I cannot do this. I want to preach my people. I want to be an apostle to the Jewish people. Verse 19, here we see how St. Paul starts to argue with God. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I am present and beat those who believe on you. So he tries to explain to God, I can make the people understand. They know that I was a persecutor of the Christians. So now when they see my conversion, knowing that I persecuted Christians before, they would understand and they would believe me. And now when the blood, verse 20, and when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death, and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. So he thinks that even St. Stephen, but see how he addressed him now, your martyr. St. Paul now is confessing that St. Stephen, whom he killed, is a martyr, the first martyr. He said, they will believe me, as if he's saying, God, believe me, God, they will understand. Even I consented the death of St. Stephen. I kept the clothes of those who stoned him, who those who killed him. So the people will understand, will believe me. And some church father said, you know, when God appeared to St. Paul, he told him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Till when you are kicking against the goads? You know, the goads is this piece that has a pointed tip, and actually they pierce the horse with this goad in order to run. So that actually was piercing the heart of St. Paul many times with goads to make him run into conversion, run into Christianity. But St. Paul was kicking against the goads. One of the goads that God used to pierce the heart of St. Stephen was the martyrdom of St. Stephen. To pierce the heart of St. Paul was the martyrdom of St. Stephen. When he saw his blood, you know, the description of St. Stephen, the people saw his face like an angel. So when St. Paul saw the martyrdom of St. Stephen, actually God pierced his heart. But St. Paul did what? He kicked against the good. How many times God pierced my heart? Wants me to move, to run, to change, to transform my life. But I kick against the good. And God asked me, till when you kick against the good? I am piercing your heart. Move on. Don't kick against the goads. Till when? And this one of the goads that God used to pierce the heart of St. Paul, the martyrdom of St. Stephen. So St. Paul is saying to God, I was one of these people who hear me right now. I persecuted the Christian so they would understand me. But God, because he foreknew us, he told him, no, they will not receive your testimony against me. Now St. Paul is trying with his hearers to get their understanding, to tell them, I was in your place. I was in your place one day, but I did not actually refused or rejected God's calling to me. Verse 21. Then he said to me, God said, told him, depart. Don't stay in Jerusalem. Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. That's my plan for you. They will not receive your testimony regarding me, about me. You need to depart. Leave Jerusalem, go to the Gentiles. I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And there is a spiritual lesson for here, for all of us. Sometimes we think this plan is better for me, to stay in Jerusalem and to preach among my people. But God, maybe he has a different will, a different plan for us. And actually we should listen to the plan of God. So God knows what's best for me. And God knows what I should do in my life. Why He created me. Why He sent me. Many times we want to do my will, not His will. Although we pray, "Thy will be done." But in reality, we say, "My will be done." Sometimes the will of God is not logical to me. That's why I don't want to follow it. But St. Paul did not reject the will of God. Actually, they listened to him until this word, "I will send you to the Gentiles." But when he said this word, all this silence was interrupted. And they became very, very angry. And they wanted actually to kill St. Paul at this moment. Why? Because they believed that the only nation that is the people of God, the family of God, is Jews only, Israel only. Gentiles are unclean. So it is a blasphemy to say, "God told you, I will send to the Gentiles." I cannot believe this. That is their situation. That's why in verse 22, they listened to him until this word. And then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live." What's his crime? Because he said, "I should preach to the Gentiles." Is this his crime? So their quiet attention was turned into uproar immediately. They, as we read in verse 23, "Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust into the air." So actually they tore their clothes, threw dust in the air, cried out, this man should be killed. Why should he be killed? Because he said Gentiles will be saved. Gentiles can be the people of God. No, this man should be killed. And one of the accusations against him that he took Gentiles into the temple. And this was like defiling the temple. There was a court outside the temple. It's called the court for the Gentiles. And the Gentiles cannot actually go beyond this court into the temple. They are unclean people. We are only God's chosen people on earth. But the Gentiles are unclean. Actually, the captain here, maybe he didn't understand Hebrew language. So he didn't understand what St. Paul was saying. All of a sudden, he found the people start to cry, tear their clothes, threw dust in the air. So he saw sudden change in the mood of the people after they quiet, calm. Now they became very, very angry. So this actually took the chief captain by surprise. What happened? And most probably he was ignorant of the Hebrew language. And he wanted to try to understand why the people became all of a sudden angry. That's why he ordered to torture St. Paul to confess, to bring confession. So this is actually a very old way to bring confession from people, to torture them. So, verse 24, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging, lashes, so that he might know why they shouted so against him. He wanted to know what is this horrible crime that made the people so angry. That's why he quickly made an instruction to the soldiers to bring St. Paul to the castle, to lash him, to scourge him, that he would understand what's his crime, that he may confess his sin or his crime, to compel St. Paul to make a confession. And St. Paul was taken in chains before by the same commander. But now he's not binding him with the chains. Actually, they will stretch him on a pillar in order to beat him up. And to beat him maybe half to death with scourging. The Roman law prohibited the commander or the officers from scourging a Roman citizenship. So this can be used to foreigners, but not to a Roman citizen. But the commander didn't know that St. Paul had Roman citizenship. So, but St. Paul, of course, he knew the Romans' law. That's why, verse 25, and as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion, who stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? So here St. Paul is telling them, now you are committing two crimes. Number one, you are scourging me, I'm a Roman citizen. Number two, there is no condemnation on me. Why you are doing this? I'm not condemned. So why you are doing this for me? Actually, when the centurion heard this, he was so afraid. Because actually he found St. Paul. And this in itself is a crime. And the Roman law actually punishes the officers or the commander or centurions if they bound or stretched to scourging a Roman citizen. That's why the centurion went hastily to the commander to tell him, what are you doing? He's a Roman citizen. This was shocking news to the commander, because the commander didn't know that St. Paul was Roman, and he was guilty of binding him. And as I told you, the penalty for this violation was drastic penalty. So this commander could face a very drastic penalty for binding St. Paul. When the centurion heard that St. Paul was Roman, he went and told the commander, saying, take care what you do, for this man is a Roman. So the commander came by himself to Paul to see what's going on here. He made a personal trip to the scene. Then the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? St. Paul told him, yes. Roman citizenship was given by three ways. If you are born in a Roman city, and St. Paul was born in Tarsus, a city of the Roman Empire, like anybody who is born here in America, he will get the citizenship. Or if you have exceptional, or you did exceptional service to the Roman Empire, so they will reward you by the Roman citizenship, or you can buy it, but you buy it with huge amount of money. Like right now, they say if you make a business for $500,000 or more, they can grant you the green card, but you need to keep this business for some time. So it's the same idea was, you need to buy it, and only the very, very rich people, because they buy it with a huge amount of money. These are the three ways that Roman citizenship could be acquired. St. Paul was born a citizen because he was born in Tarsus. And usually, if you are a born citizen, you got citizenship by birth, this is more prestigious than buying it. And you have more privilege than buying it. For example, here in America right now, if you acquired citizenship, Americans, you cannot be a president. But if you are born here, you can be a president. So usually they give privilege, more privilege to those who have citizenship by birth. So the commander answered, with a large sum I obtained this citizenship. So he was not born as Roman. He bought it. And Paul said, but I was born a citizen. So he's telling him, my citizenship is more prestigious than you. then you commanded to scourge me. And this made him very, very scared. And because St. Paul was a Roman, maybe he is also a relative of other Romans. And maybe these other Romans are very influential. So they will get this commander in a big, big trouble. That's why, verse 29, then immediately those who were about to examine him, examining means to scourge him in order to get confession out of him, withdrew from him. And the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. As I told you, this violation was punished drastically. So the chief captain was afraid because he had bound Paul for torture, and actually by doing this he violated the privileges of the Roman citizenship. But until now, the commander didn't know why these people are angry. He didn't know what's his crime. Why these people want to kill St. Paul. That's why verse 30, the next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all the council to appear. The council, here is the council of the Sanhedrin, to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. So he wanted to know why he was accused by the Jews. He released him from his bonds and he brought him before the Sanhedrin. What will happen? This actually will be in chapter 23. Now they have opportunity. He confronted St. Paul with all the chief priests and the leaders of Israel, the Sanhedrin, in order to understand what is the charges against the Paul, what the crime that he committed. And he ordered all the chief priests and the council to appear before the commander. What is the Sanhedrin? Sanhedrin is the Jewish ruling council. It was composed of 72, actually. 72, six from each tribe. So the total number will be 72. And that's why the Lord chose 12 disciples, like the 12 tribes, and 72 because of the 72 members of the Sanhedrin. And they ruled over the religious issues of Israel. The high priest was a member in the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin wouldn't actually demand or intimidated or frightened or threatened the commander to do their will. Rather, actually, they obeyed the commander to confront St. Paul and to come in this meeting, to be in the front of St. Paul, to tell the commander what are their charges against St. Paul. This actually, what happened, this is what you can read in the next chapter, chapter 23, because this meeting was helpful to the commander to know the nature of the accusation against St. Paul. As I told you, there was a riot the day before. Then St. Paul, on the next day, spoke to the people. On the third day, the commander called the Sanhedrin and St. Paul to come together in order to find out the charges against St. Paul. And this was the beginning of the trip of St. Paul to Rome to be judged there before Caesar. This actually conclude this chapter today. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Do you have any comments about this chapter? Okay. Buna will do some questions.